Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. So this is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature, very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowliv.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meeting's readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meeting's live chat. Only 2 hour OA House sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make that time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of the meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. It doesn't look like it's recording to me, just for someone's information, but to open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God. Grant me that's the things the courage
to change
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will.
Not mine.
Amen.
I assume I'm not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Hi, Ruth, yeah. Over here.
Got here, yes. A few of us, yeah.
Great, thank you. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual WeCare. Your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the WeCare book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What Is How?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
The first
Heidi.
Reading, What Is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that adherence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating in the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota and undereater.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program. They don't represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive eater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says that he or she is a member is a member. We have Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms."
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Hey, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. The how concept.
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. Thank you. Yes.
Thanks, Kelly.
On mine, it says here, may God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. Would someone now please read reflections for the newcomers?
Hey, this is Sarah. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page XXVI, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Sarah.
And now we'll have an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12.
I think I had that. This is Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome.
Hi, Pamela.
Thank you. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 through 11. Starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, families, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of the compulsive eating, we have turned our lives into objects of ridicule, and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive system. We had our ears stapled, our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, and excessive exercise. We stuffed food in our mouth until we were in physical pain. Then we get rid of it. We damaged our digestive system and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicide desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pamela.
So now would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works.
This is Laura, compulsive overeater from Marquette, Michigan.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hey,
Laura.
How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates, they are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, I can do that. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Jane.
Welcome.
Hey. Lots of tools and readings open, by the way, everyone. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9 made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10 continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11 sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
And now we'll have someone read the 12 traditions of the program.
Mute. Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tell.
Hey, Revy Tell. Welcome.
Welcome.
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Revy Tell. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Really?
No way.
Yes, it's true. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
They can raise their hand also.
So we need someone to step up for timekeeping.
Sarah?
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. So participants will receive timing prompts via the chat. So first we'll have an OA House sponsor read and pitch on abstinence plan of eating.
Okay, that's me. Hello, everyone. My name is Heather in Texas.
Hi, Heather. Welcome.
Thanks. And thank you, Ruth, for your service and everybody. And this is the tool of plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HAL disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighted measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Number two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Number three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And this is where I'm going to take a, I guess, 3 minutes or less to describe my abstinence kits. And I have at least two, probably two and a half, but this is my scale. It's digital. It's teal colored. There's a lot of scales on Amazon.com. You could be quite fathomable about it if you wanted to. But this scale always sits on my kitchen counter, which is behind me. I have a little spot in a drawer for it. So it sits there at night. But during the day, it's always on my counter. It's really, and it's just, I know folks have the, I think it's called the loaded scale, where you put food in a cup and by weight it measures it. I've never used one of those because the digital is so easy. And the way I use it, oh, I should have grabbed a plate. I put a plate on it. I hit the tear button, T-A-R-E, which zeros it out. And then I add a starch and that gets to 3.0, not 3.01 or 2.9. My previous scale had two or three decimal places. So just keep it to one. It will make your life much easier. Trust me. And so when that's at 3.0, again, not 3.1, not 2.9, I tear it again and add my next vegetables, let's say, and same thing, and then tear it and then add however much. And by the time I'm done, my plate is full. It's really pretty and it's correct measurements. So it's none of that. Did I add too much? Should I have more of this? Should I have less of that? Blah, blah, blah. All that is done. And it's pretty systematic. It took a while to figure out a system, but it's pretty easy now. It's just laid there. We also use cups. And the way the cups work is you pour in your stuff and you take a knife or a flat edge and just boop, boop, boop. And whatever's in the cup is yours, whatever is outside the cup is yours. Same thing with spoons, which are used mostly for liquids. And the term is fluffer and stuffer. It doesn't matter which one. It's not one or the other. It's just being consistent with the one you choose. So I'm a stuffer. So I'll just, and most of the stuff I use isn't like mashing in there. You just put it in, boop, 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 and then that's yours. So it's very, very easy. I also keep this in my purse. This is a little makeup bag. I think I found at Target. And inside it is, I don't know where I got this. This was a free gift. It measures teaspoons, two teaspoons, one tablespoon. You just, I don't know if you can see, but you set it. It's really neat. It says, so any measurement you need, it's done for you. And it's always in my purse. And then I also have, this little, it's Joseph and Joseph on Amazon. It's a scale. So you take it to the restaurant and then lay it out like that, turn it on and tear it. And everything I just explained with the teal colored scale, it works the same. And this is very incognito. And again, you fold it. It fits in your jean pocket. You know, it's very, as you can see, it's very tiny. And then I also have a list of, oops, I probably should put my food plan on here, but a list of phone numbers. And I consider my phone as part of my abstinence kit because if something comes up, you call. You do call a sponsor. So I'll call my sponsor. If my sponsor's not available, I'll call up to three more sponsors. If they're not available, And that's actually never happened before, but I'll call three more sponsors and someone's available, commit the change. And oh, thank you, Sarah. So that's my time. So I'm going to move on. So that's abstinence kits. Thank you, Sarah. Number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed further beyond on, on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And here is where I'm going to take 3 minutes, and I am going to set my timer this time to explain how we use this amazing tool. So abstinence is many times referred to as step zero. And I never understood that until this program, because you can't work the steps when you're in the food. You are drunk. And but when you've been drunk your whole life, you don't know you're drunk. So we have to get abstinence. And the way I look at abstinence in my food plan, and honestly, it depends on the day. Some days I like my food plan and some days I just don't. I just don't want to do it. And that's normal and that's okay. And it passes. Like today, I just don't want to do it. And that's, which is why I'm speaking on it, but that's okay. And I look at abstinence as, it's a barometer for honesty in my life, how honest I am being. Because if I can, I've said this lots of times, I've learned if I lie about my food, I can and I will lie about anything and everything in my life. Because lying is like a cancer, it spreads. But the good news is so is honesty and so is hope. Those things spread too. But they can't coexist together. Lying and truth cannot coexist together, much as we try. But so that scale and those spoons tell me how honest I am being. And do I want to make it 3.1 or 4.1 or 2.9? Am I feeling fat that day? Do I want to make it 2.8 and just smudge it? Because my sponsor will never know. She won't. But I will, and God will. So it's a wonderful, I look at it as just the boundaries of honesty. And I've noticed over time, I've only been in program for a year, but that honesty spreads. I don't know how it happens, but it does. And I like how the reading talks about the immutable triumvirate of the food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions. That immediately made me think of a bicycle. Because if you have a bicycle and one tire goes out, you're going to fall. But if you have the bicycle and the training wheels, or the three, like a more like a stool, let's use a stool as a visual. If you've got two legs on your stool, it's not a stool. It's just going to fall over. But if you have three legs on your stool, you're balanced. So you've got your food plan, your positive thinking, and your 12 steps, and you have to do all three. And I didn't know, just like I didn't know how much I was lying until I started telling the truth, beginning with my food. I didn't know how negative my thinking was until I started thinking positively. And I don't remember actively thinking positive. I think you just feel better as you know, one day goes by of, oh my gosh, I, you know, didn't binge today or whatever. And the positive thinking just grows from there. So you do need all three. It is all three. Two can't, you won't be in balance. That's my time, I think. So that's all I'm going to say. Thank you, everybody, for letting me share.
Thank you, Heather.
Heather.
Thank you. Next is a sponsorship.
Hey, Ruth, this is Megan. I signed up to do sponsorship. Unfortunately, my computer is not loading the readings. I'm willing to pitch if somebody else can read it. I apologize.
No, that's fine, Megan. Is there someone who would read the sponsor reading for Megan?
I can do that. This is Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
You're welcome. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. Thank you. We ask a sponsor Did I do that? Yep. Okay. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A how sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, says suggestion for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are resistant to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading, writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. It's all yours, Megan.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you for the help. I appreciate it. My name's Megan. I'm an OA House sponsor, a compulsive overeater. And sponsorship, hi guys. Sponsorship is essential to this program. I could not work my program without a sponsor. I need the accountability that the sponsor gives me. So I have somebody to call every morning and I report what I will eat for that day. I do a 10th step with my sponsor, an inventory every day, reflecting on where maybe I was a little off track the day before, or sometimes, you know, what went really well or progress that I saw. You know, the inventory has both sides. It's what did I do well? Also, maybe where I was not 100% on the board. And so I'm able to report that. And in doing that, I get to keep my side of the street clean and hopefully, you know, not let things build up to where I need to do another 4 through 9. Not that it's bad to do another 4 through 9, but like it kind of keeps the amount of that down because I deal with it on a daily basis. Also with my sponsor, I read my gratitudes. I try to do at least 10 gratitudes a day. I find that, again, another fellow was talking about the power of positive thinking and staying out of the negative thinking. When I do those gratitudes, it makes it so I have to pay attention during the day and look for the things for my gratitude list. You know, I'm looking for things to put on that list during the day. So it gives me the opportunity to pay attention and to find things. And without that, it's so easy for me to go down that path of negative thinking and how, you know, oh, this is, you know, I can easily tally up the things that have gone awry, in my opinion. I have to pay more attention to find the things that are positive and that I can be thankful for. And so I do that with my sponsor. And then I read my assignment. And she gets to reflect back to me patterns that she's hearing, will often support me in maybe doing more self-care or, you know, what do I need to do to address a certain issue that keeps coming up. She doesn't so much direct as maybe suggest or ask, what do I think is the next right step? And then I try to do that with my sponsees. I try to be a listening ear. I try to reflect back what I'm hearing. It is my responsibility as a sponsor to, if I'm noticing a pattern of maybe not keeping program really strong, you know, getting a little loosey-goosey, as a sponsor, I need to say something because I'm protecting that person's program. It's not punitive. It's not that I'm out to get my sponsee. It's that if she's not following the structure of the program, it's like there's a pothole in front of her and I need to warn her that it's there. So that is part of my job as a sponsor. And that's taught me a lot because I tend to not like confrontation, and that feels confrontational to me sometimes. Thank you for the time, Sarah. I appreciate it. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. 1, how long in OA and HOW. 2, how long abstinent in OA and HOW. And 3, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If you wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it's your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remains online. Okay, so we'll start the sponsor line now.
Go ahead, Bryn. You have to unmute yourself, Bryn.
Okay, I'll let you hear it now.
I can hear you, yep.
Okay, yeah, I'm just learning how to use this thing, so please bear with me. Yeah, I'm Bryn, recovery 2-hour compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. I first entered, walked through the doors of OA HOW in March 2004. The most recent abstinent date is October 2007. My previous weight was 554 pounds. I gave away 335 pounds of it. And I'm at present maintaining the weight level at according to my doctor's recommendation. So, and I have no opening, so I pass. Thank you.
Maureen.
Hi, everyone. It's Maureen from Virginia. And I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. And then I joined OA HOW in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released 50 pounds. And with that, I pass.
Kelly C.
Hi, I'm Kelly from Pennsylvania. I joined OA HOW in December of 2019, have been abstinent since, so about 6 or 7 months, and I have been relieved of 35 pounds. Thank you.
Megan?
Hi all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 15th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice, and I don't have anything else to share. Thanks, I pass.
Laura?
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I received the gift of abstinence on May 23rd, 2005 in the OA HOW 2-hour rooms, and I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight loss. Thank you.
Mary?
This is Mary G. from St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I've given away and maintained 75 pounds. Pass.
Marlena?
Hi, I'm Marlena, and I'm a sponsor in the 2-hour HOW program. And I've been in OA over 40 years, and in HOW over 4 years, and my most recent recommitment abstinence date is 5/22/20, and I'm down about 50 pounds from my top weight, and I do have an opening, and my number is 510-306-6234, and that's Pacific time, and my preferred call time, although I have some flexibility, is 6:15 a.m. Pacific time. Thank you.
Christina?
Hey, everyone. It's Christina in New Mexico. I am an OA How-To-Hour sponsor, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss in my absence date, June 2017. So good to be here. Thanks.
Michelle R.
Good evening. I'm Michelle from Minneapolis, compulsive overeater. I walked into the rooms of OA on August 14th, 2011, got abstinent August 27th, 2011. I'm maintaining a 90-pound weight loss for the last 5 years, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. Yes.
Pamela?
Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict, two-hour health sponsor. I came in January 23rd, 2016. My recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. And I don't have an opening in my weight loss or gain. I leave that up to my higher power and my nutritionist. Thank you.
Anne Marie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie in Virginia. I am an OA HAL sponsor. I came into the rooms in 2014. My current abstinence date is March 11 of this year, and I have released 175 pounds.
Debbie?
Hi, everyone. My name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater and a two-hour HOW sponsor. I came into HOW in October of 2006, and my current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Herbie Tau.
Hi, everybody. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tau. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, was introduced to two-hour OA HOW in 2017, where I finally became abstinent and continue to remain abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this format, this program. And my body has released approximately 100 pounds. I don't have any openings. Thank you.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I came directly into HOW in October of 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I returned a few years later, 100 plus pounds up, and I'm currently down 70 pounds. Thank you.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of HOW in September of 2017. My back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018, and I have been relieved of 108 pounds. I pass.
Heather?
Thank you. Sorry about that, technical issues. Hi again, everyone. My name is still Heather. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict in Texas. I'm a two-hour OA HOW sponsor, came into program in August of 2019. My latest recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. Thanks.
Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater on Vancouver Island in Canada, BC. And I came into the rooms of OA approximately 8 years ago, came into the HOW program September 19th, 2019. I've been abstinent ever since, and I've lost about 14 pounds. Thanks.
Catherine?
Hi, I'm Catherine S. from Virginia, food addict and bulimic. I came into HOW April of 1990. I got abstinent in HOW July 12th of 1990. and have been abstinent since then, free from binge purging, and I'm 40 pounds below my top weight.
40? Erlinda?
Hi, good evening or morning, afternoon. It's Erlinda from Chicago. I've been in program back-to-back abstinence since February 11, 2019. I'm very grateful to be here. I've been relieved of 63 pounds, and I have no openings right now. Thanks.
Howard?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 2 months of abstinence in OA, how I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Anybody else? Any other? Anybody on the phone? Okay, I'll go.
Hang on, Carrie. Let me
okay.
Unmute people here on the phone that may be on the phone. If they hit *6, they can unmute.
All right, so *6 if you're on the phone. I'll go real quick here. My name is Carrie. I'm an over and under eater here in Minnesota, and I've been in the program since September of 21st of 2019. I've lost a total of 35 pounds. I do have a sponsee opening for 5:30 in the morning. That's Central Time. And I'll put my phone number in the chat box, but it's 320-267-5159. And Ruth, if you want to go next.
Okay. We're done. This is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008. And I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Ruth in Connecticut. Clay Fee.
Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, sorry. Christina, oh, go.
I already went. It's okay. I was just unmuting because I'm doing the next tool.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, great. So Clay Fee, we should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in that fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. The next tool is anonymity.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina, compulsive overeater in New Mexico.
And hi, Christina. Welcome.
Welcome. Okay. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we will never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to offer service offices of OA. For the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong.
We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
So actually, I think this is the tool that has transformed my life the most, particularly the inner work that I've been able to do because of program. I actually had a friend visiting me last week who said, she commented on my behavior and said, you know, Christina, one of the things I really like about you is that when someone is sharing about their life experiences and it's clear that you're further along in your journey, you really hold them with love and respect, and it doesn't feel like they're lagging behind or that you're judging them. And I straight up told my friend, oh, that's because of anonymity. In a way, how I have been learning to listen with respect. And I think because so many people in this program over the last 5 years have listened to me when I've been having meltdowns and when I've been having my journey and my questions and all the things, it's given me freedom to allow myself to be on a journey and not have already arrived and just hold myself with respect. And then it's helped me to turn to other people and hold them with respect wherever they are, because there's no game that we're playing. We're all just on a journey, and we all get to be human and be on that journey. And so I really think the practice of anonymity and how people have treated me with respect has been really powerful. And then also in terms of my own internal work, this is probably the tool that has been the hardest for me, because it turns out I like having opinions about people and being judgy and then talking about it. And I didn't know that about myself, but it's helped me do some exploration with my family and see why I've been shaped in that way. But one of the things that's been really fascinating is noticing through program that I have a tendency, when I feel scared, when I feel unsafe, to turn and judge and talk about other people. And really it's the tool of anonymity that has forced me to uncover that sort of hidden defensive character and to start working with it and healing and realizing, oh, I can catch it early. I can catch the fear. I can catch it and not feel like I have to indulge in that defense. And so I just think it's a really beautiful tool. It's taught me so much about my family, how I wanna be moving forward. It's taught me so much about the emotional work that I need to do in order to be a healthy person. And I guess my friends are noticing that it's having an effect on me, which I think is just, it's a miracle. I'll say that. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Christina. Next is telephone calls.
This is Pamela, compulsive overeater, food addict.
Hi, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
Hi.
Hey, Pamela.
It's wonderful to be here tonight. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process is a tool which we learn to ask for help, reach out and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. I didn't think that telephone was going to be my lifeline. But I have found a relief for using it. I call my sponsor at a certain time every day, and I'm on time. I put my alarm on, and it goes off, and I call her right on time. I'm not late, unless I have to caregive to my husband. But other than that, I'm always on time. I make my three calls most of the time, more than three calls. I love to talk to others and listen to what their experience is with their program and with life in general. I today I carry my phone with me everywhere. My husband says, "Can't you ever leave that thing home?" I said, "No, somebody might need me." You know, if I'm going out with a group of friends, I'll turn it off for the time that I'm with them. I found that I'm an isolator, and I like to do my projects. I'll sit for hours doing my projects, which is very tiny work, and then I have also my crochet that I love to do. And I'd rather be home sitting there than at a meeting or on a telephone. But I do make sure that my calls are in. And I also make calls throughout the day. For one thing, I'm in assisted living, and we've been locked down for the last 6-7 months. And for 10 days there, we were in our rooms. We couldn't go out into the common area. So it's been very stressful. And if I hadn't had the telephone to complain to somebody about that, I would have gone stir crazy. And I would have been totally alone. And, you know, like it's already been said here once tonight, at least, that, you know, I could have overate or under eight any time I was in my room. Who's going to know the difference? But I will. So that's when I pick up the phone and I make my calls and ask God for help and take care of business. For that, I pass.
Thank you, Pamela.
You're welcome.
The next tool is meetings.
Hi, this is Marlena, and I'll share on meetings.
Thank you.
Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another or by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. And, our phone calls are great in the one-to-one contacts we have with others and our sponsors, but a meeting is like multiplying that connection. And I was thinking about meetings also in the sense, I think I've only ever been in one intervention where you get a team of people that kind of bring awareness to somebody who's caught in their addiction. But a meeting is like getting an intervention every time we go to one, and that we hear all these people naming the very things we're doing and the very ways that we can recover. And so as it said, it gives us strength and hope because we're not just seeing where we're common in the ways that we've gotten lost and in our addiction, but we're seeing that there's a way out. Over and over, we're reminded of that. And in a way, it's like a spiritual ritual because we read the same things over and over. And I know sometimes I fight that a little inside, but
but it is, it's like a ritual where those things are said and they come to have a deeper and deeper meaning as we hear them over and over and over again. And that also strengthens us. So meetings are an important tool, and it's a blessing to have Zoom. I'm grateful this meeting was the first of the How meetings to introduce that. It's getting more known, and I guess we get to see the sparkle in people's eyes as well as hear the clarity in their voices, which is what drew me to How in the first place, was the clarity in the voices. But now I get to see the sparkle in people's eyes. So thank you.
Thank you, Marlena. The next tool is literature and writing.
Hi, everyone. Okay, literature and writing. So again, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital.
Hi, Revital.
Hi, good to be here tonight. Okay, so literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. And by substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book. I think it's now the Purple Book, and the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Let me see if I can... Technical difficulty. Writing. And I guess maybe I'll just do a quick pitch on this. Especially for me lately, it's been the Big Book. I'm actually partaking in a 26-week workshop every Monday, learning the details of what's behind the stories, who and what is going on. And once again, I'm reminded we sit on the shoulders of giants who really suffered and found a solution. And we get to use this as a textbook. And there's like, for me, it's like there's pure information here and it needs to be translated into OA, and specifically for me into 2-hour OA How, so that I can apply it. And it works. It works when I work it. And every single day I say I'm a recovering, not recovered, because every single day, if I practice, use the tools of reading and writing amongst other tools, then I stand a chance at recovery for another 24 hours. And that for me is critical. So really, really grateful for the reading. This is one way that the folks who are no longer here in physical form are communicating with me a message that is so very precious. Writing, in addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, in addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing is an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. And so there it is again with writing. I don't know, I'm wired differently from my head down to my heart, out my arm and out through the pen, out through the ink or the buttons on the keyboard. And different stuff comes out when it's not isolated in the noggin here. And it's just amazing, because once I have the writing documented, I can share it and then I get to de-isolate it. And you know, there's a saying, God comes in through group conscience. And the moment I read that writing, I have something to share that's been processed somehow. Something happens in the writing.
a different reality comes out, a different, you know, I get to partake in an exchange and some feedback, and people get to know me and who I am and what I'm about and where am I lying to myself. When it's trapped in here and it's quiet and silent, sometimes I don't even realize I'm isolating in my head. Then I don't get that feedback. I don't get to borrow somebody else's sanity when mine is temporarily out of service. And I just want to say, I just want to put it out there that for me, I'm constantly living in step one. Every single day I revisit step one, because what I learned from this textbook is that I am wired differently. I am an addict, specifically a food addict, possibly in other areas of my life as well. I have addictive tendencies. And that means that when life is unmanageable, I become powerless over, in other words, powerlessly attracted to, addicted to behaviors that are dangerous for me. However, when I do my writing and I do my inventories and stuff is revealed and released in a safe and compassionate manner, and I have an opportunity to mend for that, suddenly something is restored, peace is restored, and the need to behave dangerously, powerlessly so, is lifted. It's lifted. I get to do an overhaul, a recalibration, and suddenly I see it differently. I see the light. So really, really grateful for the tools of reading and writing. Thanks for letting me share tonight.
Thank you, Ravitel.
Thanks, Ravitel.
And the last tool is service.
Hey everyone, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I feel compelled to share on service tonight. Tool 8, service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. So again, my name is Jane, and I am new in the service role of making sure that all the readings are taken for this meeting. So I'm the one who's been inundating the chat line with all kinds of requests and seeking out people privately, and just so grateful for those of you who make this meeting possible. I mean, if we were all silent, it would be a very long 2 hours. And I guess, you know, I have learned in recovery, I've been in AA as well for a number of years, and I've learned in recovery that, that service, you know, the first thing is that whatever I assume the service position is going to feel like never is that. I learned so much about what whoever has done the service before me did. I usually walk into a service position with a lot of assumptions about what the job was that I was doing, and right off the bat usually learn a lot, and a lot of service that I've done in recovery has changed the course of my life in ways I didn't even know that it would, and it's been amazing. But I also know that at the beginning of a service position, no matter what it's been in the rooms of AA or in OA, it's challenging. Like, there's a point in this meeting where I was thinking, I'm done. I don't want to do this. This is too hard. But then everything comes together, and I can then kind of relax and listen to the meeting and know that we're all looking out for each other in this meeting, and we know what it takes to put it together, and it also honors all the other people that are coming together to make this meeting happen. So anyway, I'm glad for this position. It will get easier, and thank you to all who are helping me to do it.
And thanks for your patience. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. You're a rock star.
will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay.
Yay, service!
Okay, the Minnesota OAHOW live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you'd like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. Are there any newcomers here tonight?
I am Tammy. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm from California. I'd like to receive calls. My number is 951-349-6427.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome.
Hey, welcome, Tammy.
Can I ask, there were two ladies that were available sponsors. Could you please repeat your name and number, please?
Can you stay on after the meeting to do that?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Or you can give your phone number. Well, maybe you're on the phone, so you can't do the chat box. But
okay. All right.
Hello, I'm Kay. From Philadelphia.
Hi, Kay. Welcome.
Hey, Kay.
Welcome,
hi,
Kay.
Welcome.
Kay, hi, I'm Jordan.
Hold on just a minute, Jordan. Kay, did you want to give your name or number or put it in the chat
box? Oh, sure. I put it in the chat box, but I could say it. No problem. My number is 718-501-7062, and it's East Coast.
Okay. Thank you, Kay.
Thanks, Kay.
So welcome, Kay. And then Jordan, go ahead.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan. Thanks so much. And I'd love phone calls. And my number is 803-446-0717. I'll put it in the chat. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan. Welcome,
Jordan.
Welcome to the meeting.
Who else is new to the program or new to this meeting?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, my name's Ryan from Kansas. I've been in the program about a month now, but I never seem to make it to the Tuesday night meeting.
Hi, Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan.
Yeah.
And anyone else? Okay, well, thank you, and welcome to all the newcomers. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you're here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. Do we have a treasurer's report tonight?
Not tonight.
Okay, thank you. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. And now I'm going to read the promises. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
We think not.
They are beautiful, They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And that's from the Big Book, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hi there.
Hey, Howard.
Hi. Say, I just want to give a few video tips on working with a phone or a laptop or that kind of thing on a Zoom meeting. And I'm not, you know, directing this to any particular person. These are general tips. When you're either using a laptop or on a mobile device, you want to make sure that your eyes are level with the camera. Sometimes people will put their laptop or camera on a table in front of them and they're looking down, and it's not the most flattering. Also, if you're using a mobile or mobile device like a phone or a tablet, you want to have the device in a landscape mode and not in a portrait mode. In a portrait mode, it kind of narrows the screen down and it just partially fills up the screen. You also don't want to hold the phone. You want to try to find a shelf or someplace where you can, you know, anchor it in front of you, so you're not holding it and it's shaking, which is kind of hard for the viewer to watch. You can also get a holder, which you can put around the phone or your tablet, and it has a tripod connection down at the bottom, and you can get fairly inexpensively a tabletop tripod that you can screw it in, and it will stay nice and steady and upright on your desk. Also, you want to avoid having bright lights behind you, like an open window or a lamp that may wash you out. And it can be so bright that we're not able to even see you. You know, on a laptop, you can hide your cell view, which if you run your mouse on the video, there's three dots, and which brings up a menu, and you can hide your cell view, which is sometimes difficult for speakers, which helps speakers because then they'll look at the camera on their phone or laptop rather than themselves. So you want to make sure that you're looking in the camera and not to the side or into the screen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
Any other announcements?
Yeah, this is Carrie. I am calling. I'm the one that sends out the email every week, and there's a couple opportunities for volunteering. One would be for the intergroup rep. We need somebody to represent this meeting, and also we need help with being able to keep our ASL interpreters. We need participation from the deaf community, and we're actually the only ASL opportunity for any OA meeting, so it'd be nice to have some people interested in trying to keep them around. Let me see the other thing. If you go to the website, what you do, it's in the process of being fixed, but if you click the home button up in the right-hand corner, that brings up all the information. So it's temporarily not working if you just go to the regular page, but if you click home, then you can see everything and all the recordings and everything that's on there. You can also donate, and there is also a donate link in the chat box as well. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Any other announcements? Well, I have one. Literature and books, newcomer, and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery. Oh, somebody has medallions, actually, shaking them. But at HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause.
Recovery!
Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So now I'm going to call out the time periods, and if you want a medallion, turn on your camera and unmute your phone. So first, is there anyone here tonight with more than 5 years of abstinence? I thought we had someone that was celebrating, but I'm not sure. Is there anyone with 1 to 5 years of abstinence? Or yeah, between 1 and 5 years of abstinence. Anybody with 1 year of abstinence that would like to get a medallion? How about 9 months? Six months? 3 months or 90 days?
Hi, everyone. I had 90 days on Sunday. My name is Amanda, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
Way to go, Amanda.
Congratulations.
Yay. Good job.
Way to go, Amanda.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Amanda. Anyone else? Anyone with 90 days? I forgot where I was. Anyone with 90 days? How about 60 days? 30 days? Okay, and then lastly, we have something called the chip of desire. And this does not mean that you're committing to be abstinent, but just that you've heard something in the meeting or seen something that you desire. And you can, if you'd like to get a chip of desire, you can unmute yourself and just announce yourself. Anyone want a chip of desire?
I'm Tammy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'd like to have a medallion. I want you guys out.
Tammy, thank you. I'm glad you came back on. Would you give your number again? Because I think we didn't quite catch it before.
951-349-6427.
Thank you very much, Tammy.
Welcome, Tammy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want a chip of desire? Okay, so congratulations for the people getting medallions tonight. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, a reminder to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight? I don't believe there are. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence, and that's from the OA Group Handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? I don't believe so. But attendees may sign up to celebrate your step up or anniversaries via the link on the website. And now it's time for the leader to share for 10 minutes. So if the timer would just let me know when my time is up. I don't know what I just said, but this timer, but the timer would let me know when my time is up. So my name is Ruth, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I'm in Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. So, of course, as I'm going through the readings tonight, and I thought of a lot of things to say, but I guess, well, I do want to say what I was like, what happened, what I'm like now. I've been in OA HOW now since 2006. I came to OA HOW after many years in regular OA when I never made it all the way through the steps. I was never able to get to my maintenance weight and stay there. And I was just about coming up on a year of abstinence in OA, and I was terrified because every time I would get to my goal weight, I would break my abstinence and I would put the weight back on or more. And I just had not been able, I was really grateful that I had almost a year of abstinence in OA, but I didn't think I was going to be able to keep it. And my sponsor actually that in OA started working OA How, and that's how I got here. And at first I just wasn't really sure that I could do all of the things that were expected. And I had some really wise sponsors when I first started who encouraged me to do things like talk to, find some people who had long-term recovery, you know, to get a group of people who would agree to be available to me as my support group, that I could call, that they would agree that I could call them if I needed help. And I don't know that I even really ever called those particular people very often, but it just, I really felt like I wasn't alone. And I guess when I think about what I'm like now, I heard this some, or I saw it somewhere in the earlier readings that, so it didn't exactly say it like this, but the reason I keep working How all these years is because I keep benefiting from it. You know, certainly I was very happy to be relieved of the obsession with food. It took me a while to figure out how to plan my food and how to shop and how to figure out my food plan and, you know, how not to make mistakes at the beginning and how to break old patterns of like eating as I was preparing things or whatever. But really almost from the very beginning, I was really relieved of the obsession with food. And now that only shows up very rarely, and it shows up in different ways. Like this morning, as I was taking my cottage cheese to the table, and I started eating it before I sat down, but the spoon fell out, and so a little bit fell on the floor. So I thought, oh, do I need to call somebody or not need to call somebody? I tried to weigh it, and I was going to say, oh, maybe this doesn't matter. Maybe I don't need to call somebody. So I started getting into that obsessing about what I was doing with my food. And then the way to get rid of that obsession is really just to make the phone call and to talk to someone about it. But not only did I get relieved of the obsession, and then I also was able to get down to my goal weight, which since my 20s, I was always making graphs and my weight would go up and down and I could never get into the goal range. But now in OA How, I've been in maintenance range since probably 2008 or 2006. I don't remember. And my food plans had to be adjusted a few times. My weight range has changed over time. But that's a miracle, really, just to not be thinking about my body and my clothes and my weight. But the reason that I keep doing it was all the progress that was made that I got from working the steps. I had done 4 steps before, but I never got all the way through the steps. And if you keep working this program, you know, all of us are doing the same thing. We're all weighing and measuring our food, calling it into a sponsor. We're all working the tools. But because we're doing the reading and writing every day, you will eventually get through all the steps. It just happens. If you keep a day at a time, eventually you will get through them all. And eventually you will step up, even if you have to start over a few times. But the steps is what has given me, the spiritual growth and the emotional growth. So I had the physical recovery, I had the emotional recovery really through working the steps and doing like fear sheets and resentment sheets and making amends, that kind of thing. But the exciting thing, I guess, is the ongoing spiritual recovery that I get as a result of working the program. This morning, I don't remember exactly what I was writing about, but there was something I was worried about. I had a meeting at 10 o'clock. I had to stay home from work, and I had a meeting with my daughter and her physical therapist, and my son was going to be there too because there was an issue going on with my daughter. And I just was able to put it in God's hands. I think that was how I ended my writing, was just, you know, that I give it, put it in God's hands. And I've really learned a lot of different ways to do that. You know, whether it's right now I have a prayer partner to help me with my negative thinking. So when I wake up first thing in the morning, I call this person in program and we say a prayer. We each say a prayer. And it starts me to be thinking more positively. You know, our tool of doing our inventory at night and writing gratitudes, that really helps me to stay out of the negative thinking. My hookups throughout the day, you know, it's sometimes they aren't too remarkable, the calls, but other times they really are lifesavers. And by making them over time, I've developed people that I can call when I am struggling with something. People who have similar issues, or who I feel connected to for a certain reason. So just going back to the thing about putting that meeting in God's hands this morning, it really went much better than if I had tried to control it or make it be a certain way. And that's what I heard earlier from someone in the meeting too, is about just kind of allowing room for God to come into my life and to bring something that's much different than I would have expected. Oh, maybe it was when the person was talking about service and their idea of what service is. So my idea about how a day is supposed to look, it might be helpful for me to plan my day, but then I really do like to give it to God and allow God to come in. And I love when I have a day where I feel kind of like things were flowing and I just was able to be present and grounded in the day. That just reminded me, I was lucky today on the way home. If I had left work a minute or two earlier, I might've been on the highway when a tree fell down and some cars crashed, and then they closed two of the lanes as I was trying to get home. So, you know, there's always a lot that you can be grateful for. And I guess maybe the biggest gift I feel right now is just how I'm getting help with my negative thinking, and also help with allowing other people to have their ideas about how to do things, that it doesn't always have to be my way. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Let's see. Okay, now I would like to introduce Michelle, who is our guest speaker and will qualify for 20 minutes.
Good evening. I'm Michelle R., compulsive overeater. I live in Minneapolis.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle, welcome. Hi, you guys. It's been a long time.
Michelle, hold on. Before you start, how do you want your time?
Via chat is fine, and you can do 10, 5, 1 would be great.
Okay, thanks,
Michelle. Got it.
Thanks, Sarah. Oh, my goodness. So what it was like... what got me here and what it's like now. Buckle up, gang. It's quite a ride. Oh, man. It's nice to see some familiar faces, too, to know that we can be connected in a world of COVID. You know, oh, thank you, God, for internet access and Howard's technical abilities. So get a resounding amen to that. So I just to kind of give you the quick, the background, I'm the oldest of three, grew up in the suburbs. My parents divorced when I was two. And my brother was just a baby. Mom remarried at 5. Half-sister came along when I was 7. My stepdad was extremely abusive, an alcoholic, sexually abused me, physically abused my brother, you know, and at 15, I, you know, was invited to go on a diet. And, you know, I would sneak food all the time. From about, oh, I don't even know, maybe 10, 11, when mom would go to take a babysitter back up the street, I would try to grab anything that would be quick, that I couldn't, you know, that wouldn't necessarily reveal that it had been eaten. So could it be a piece of cheese or crackers or a hot dog or a piece of bologna or anything like that. When I started to babysit, that was the cat's meow. I would go and babysit for the people that had like the best food, and they would, I'd be sure that after the kids went to bed, I wouldn't ever open up anything that wasn't already open, and I wouldn't ever eat the last of anything, but boy, would I skim it off the top or, try to act like, you know, it wasn't noticed that maybe half the ice cream tub was gone, or that I had had, you know, a bunch of chocolate or, you know, sweet treats or what have you. And so at 15, my stepdad says to me, if you lose 20 pounds, I'll give you $20. All right. Well, you know, as a kid in the 80s, $20 seemed like a lot of money then. And so I stopped eating. I didn't eat breakfast, didn't eat lunch, would only eat dinner, lost the weight very quickly, got the $20, and then started eating normally, or what I thought was normal, which really wasn't, and ended up putting the weight back on. And when I graduated high school, I was over 200 pounds. Went to college and, lost the freshman 15 cause I walked from campus. If you guys are familiar with the University of Minnesota Duluth campus, it's built into a hill. So there's a lot of tunnels, and when it gets cold in the winter, you don't ever have to go outside. So, but it means a lot of walking. So I was fit and it was great, but you know, I started then, you know, dating a man, and, you know, for probably about a year and a half or so, felt really good. And when we broke up, I was within 10 pounds of what I thought was my ideal goal weight. And my ideal goal weight, for whatever reason, I thought was 165. I could open up any journal and it would either be about a man or my weight or a combination thereof for years and years and years. Oh, there's the qualifying photo thing. Thanks, Howard. Oh boy. You know, I don't even recognize the person on the left anymore. And the person on the right, I'm about probably 20 pounds heavier now. It was when I was running quite a bit. So I qualify. So after I dated this guy and found out that I kind of had situational depression, I realized that I was pretty much over him when I put on 60 pounds in a year. It was unbelievable. And I don't know that I really realized that I was an emotional eater, but it hit me when I graduated from college, moved home, started dating a man, and in like 99, and ended up starting Weight Watchers just before the turn of the century. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to be really fit for, you know, the turn of the millennium. And I lost 40 pounds in, well, I had back surgery, I should say. I started out having back surgery in July of 1999. So 25 years old, having back surgery. My top weight was 240 pounds. And about this time, you know, I was heavier, probably around 220, started Weight Watchers, lost 40 pounds. And then in, you know, got through the turn of the millennium, May, then was having a gallbladder attack and lost my gallbladder in May of 2000. And then in June, 3 days after my birthday on Father's Day, my dad died, my biological dad, who I didn't really know all that well, but cleared genetically when he was 51 years old, 5 feet 10 inches and 358 pounds, that my future was written for me in looking at him. And then the man I was dating in July broke up with me. So needless to say, Weight Watchers went out the window. I started eating myself back up the scale again. And then started the whole yo-yo. I mean, I would try things and I would be really good at it the first time around. I would have a lot of success. And then I would either run out of money or get frustrated or think I was good enough and felt good enough to where I wouldn't have to do it anymore. And so I would give up and just be like, okay, that's good enough. And then here, start eating again and putting the weight back on, feeling miserable and not realizing it, because I was the one with the bubbly personality. You know, I had thin friends and they were all cute and attractive and dating. And for me, I had to try to win people over with my personality and really overdo it. And probably to the point of being super obnoxious. And, you know, I did Slimgenics. And again, spent, I think I added it up once, and I probably have spent about $7,000 in weight loss schemes and food programs and pay in ways and just, oh my God, in memberships to the gym that I would never go to. And so in 2000, in, you know, in the same time, 2006, I met my now husband, and, you know, at the time, again, was my highest weight was 240, and he loved me at that weight. And you know, he had seen me lose 50 pounds with Slimgenics and then put it back on. He had seen me lose some weight before our wedding and then put it back on. And in 2011, so we got married in 2010, 2011, you know, about this time, 9 years ago, I was with my best friend, and, you know, she is one of us, but on the opposite end. So she wouldn't eat and then I would eat. So we were a perfect combination because, you know, we could order a pizza and a bottle of wine and, you know, there you go. We'd sit at either end of the couch and I would eat and drink and she would nibble and maybe drink. And that was about it. And, we were out for lunch and I had ordered, a meal and then had ordered like onion rings. Now here's the kicker. Okay. I've never done a drug in my life. I've smoked a cigarette once. I drank, but no hard drugs. So I have nothing to compare this to other than to say, as I'm eating the onion rings, I say to her, it tastes like crack. Like it was so addictive. I could not stop eating them. And her little red flags went off like, okay, something's just not right here. So a friend had invited me to an OA meeting back in April, and I just pushed it off, didn't want to do anything about it. And finally, you know, it got to the point where my life looked like this. I'd wake up late every day. I would put on baggy clothes to hide my fat rolls. I would leave for the house to go to work, not having had breakfast, no lunch packed. And I would go through the drive-thru and I would get a value meal and a Diet Coke. And then I would eat it on my 9-mile drive to work, praying to God I had green lights, because if I had a red light and I had to stop, if I was the first one there, no problem. I could keep eating. Somebody pulled up on my right, I turned to my left. Somebody pulled up on my left, I turned to my right. And if I had people on either side of me, I'd freeze and pray for a green light so I could continue to eat. I then get to work, and in my desk drawer, you could open up any one of them and either find Pick-a-Mix, licorice, chocolate, or take a trip down to somebody else's office to just go say hi and pocket a couple of the, you know, the mini candy bars or whatever that you get at Halloween. Wouldn't have a lunch pack. So again, I go out for lunch, and then inevitably 3 to 4 times a week, I'd swing through the DQ drive-thru and I would think, oh, I had a great day, or I had a bad day, or I'm entitled to this, or I could justify any reason to get either a peanut butter parfait or a Blizzard. And then I would eat it on my 6-mile drive home and then gather all my evidence for the day, throw it in the dumpster, and then walk in the house acting like I haven't eaten since lunch. Now, one, it's super expensive, right? Two, I'm putting weight on left, right, and center and can't even, I was a size 22. And that was probably, you know, that 2008 picture was my heaviest known weight. So I walk into OA on August 14th, 2011. And I end up sitting in the meeting, or I walk in and one, I'm pissed. I'm like, people are happy. They're thin. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, how come, what are you so happy for? I don't quite understand. And then I got upset because it was a 2-hour meeting and nobody told me it was going to be 2 hours. And yet I sat there and as I listened to people's stories, I could relate. I could relate to some of what they said, maybe not all of what they said, but I could see myself in how they were relating to food. And the sponsor line blew me away. I'm like, okay, how is it that people can lose this weight, keep it off for so many years, and this isn't advertised? Like, where has this been? How come it's not? This needs to be advertised. And, you know, the next week I went to, so I think from that point, I might have started to weigh and measure my food, but it took me a couple of weeks to get all the pieces put together. The following week I went back, I asked for a sponsor, cried again the whole time of the meeting, but knew that the structure and the discipline is what I needed. And, you know, for somebody who didn't like to be told what to do, when people are like, oh, do you really want to have that next helping? Or, oh, is that a smart idea? Or maybe you want to try something else. I needed to have the rigor of what OA How provides. So I started working the program and my very first day abstinent for you Minnesotans, my first day abstinent was at the Minnesota State Fair. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a state fair. I figure if I can walk amongst all these people with my backpack and I can have my weighed and measured carrots and I can have my apple and I can have my sandwich all ready to go, I can do it anywhere. I can do it for any holiday, any birthday, any funeral, any wedding, you name it. I got it because I'm at the freaking Minnesota State Fair and I'm not eating all the junk food that's here. And it felt so good. And so that day for me, I declare, is the first day of calling my sponsor, committing my food, making my calls, doing my reading and writing, all of it, every single tool. Now, throughout program, I lost 40 pounds and then I got pregnant with my only son, who I had an abstinent pregnancy. And I remember, you know, just for people who are pregnant, it's like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? Well, people would say you'd have a license to eat. And you know what? No. I mean, I wanted to do what was healthy for my child. And so I did. I followed doctor's recommendations. I gained a total of 11 pounds with the pregnancy. He was 6 pounds. And 3 weeks postpartum, I was below my pre-pregnancy weight. Now, for you moms, sorry, but from the time that I had my first contraction to when he was born was 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 2 pushes. So, bam, there's healthy for you. Just, he was here. And now he's, you know, 4.5 feet tall and weighs 85 pounds and is, loves his vegetables, will eat his fruit. He's super well-rounded in his diet, and he gets to know his healthy mom, and I get to be that for him. Other things of what life is like now. So COVID has done a number like crazy. I work full-time. I work this program. I'm going to school to be a health and wellness coach above all things. I'm also a licensed massage therapist and I own my own massage business. So I have a full life, plus a mom and a wife and all this stuff. So, you know, for people who say, oh, I don't have the time, I'm like, call me, okay? I will help you find time. I'm really good at finding time. And I sleep well at night. Like my head hits the pillow and I'm out because I've, you know, burned up every minute that God has to give me. Well, let me just say, I've become a runner. I didn't realize that I was a runner until, and as an extrovert, to be able to run, it's the only thing that I do really alone, and I'm grateful for it. It's given me the peace of mind. It gets me connected to my body. It gets me out in nature and connected to God in a way that I never could have even imagined. And, you know, now, thank you, Sarah. With things with COVID, oh, you guys, it's done a number. One, you know, to not be able to touch people is huge because I'm a massage therapist. To have a husband who hasn't been a partner, I'm actually, in the last 2 weeks, we've decided to divorce. So I'm going through that. Trying to figure out who's going to keep the house, you know, just all of it. And then you throw school in and distance learning and hybrid learning. And, you know, the fact that there hasn't been a true partnership. I feel like I've been carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And what I really got, and forgive me, because I do get emotional, especially when it comes to program, because I'm so clear that if I don't put myself first every single day, nobody else is going to. And I need to honor who I am. And whereas I can be strong and straightforward and love people to death and like really stand for them, the one place I couldn't do that was in my marriage. And that is now complete. I'm like, I can't pretend like I can do it on my own when I've asked and my needs haven't been met. And so yesterday I wrote, and I'd like to just share with you the distinction for me on what my will is versus God's will in just a few minutes I have left. So one, as I look back 6 months, I see God written all over my life, answering prayers I didn't know I had and not answering the ones I really wanted. This demonstration of wills lets me know mine doesn't matter. Only God's will shall be done. The wonders of why not me at the state? I had applied for some jobs. My will. Keeping me in my job and listening for my needs to be met at work. God's will. My desire to have a loving partnership, trying so hard to have my husband fit what I needed him to be. My will. God revealing to me through others my value and self-worth matter. And to proceed with divorce, I say God's will. And actually, I think accepting where I am in my marriage was God's will. Having the courage to stand in raging waters and weather the storm, God's will. Awakening me to all those around me who love, cherish, value, and appreciate me. God's will. All there is to do now is face forward on a strong foundation of God's love and will for me, surrendering my ego and accepting the path he's chosen for me. So I thank you guys for just allowing me to be of service and for the invitation. As you can see, it's still pretty raw on just where life is right now. And I'm so grateful that you're out there doing it with me one day at a time. And I'll go ahead and I'll give my phone number. I put it in the chat, but I'll give it to you. I'm an early bird. So you East Coasters, feel free. You West Coasters, if you're up late or super early, feel free to call. It's 612-670-9093, and that's Central Standard Time. And for those of you who I do know and our paths have crossed, thank you for staying in and being of service and just being part of the weave of our fellowship that I so greatly need right now. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Michelle. Normally, this is time for 3-minute pitches, but it looks like we are out of time. No one is, well, I'm going to skip this part because we don't have time for it. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I'd also like to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Michelle, who offered so much of herself. And we now have the reading just for today.
Okay, just for today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. And just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
We'd also like to
thank you, Revital.
We'd also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still hearing.
God,
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Michelle, for sharing.
Let me get out of here.
Does somebody have the names and numbers of available sponsors to share?
I think Carrie mentioned she has an early morning sponsor. Did you put your name and email address in the chat?
No.
Oh.
Is this Tammy?
No, this is Jana. I was checking for somebody else who asked me to get available sponsors, and I wasn't able to get on the call until after the sponsor line. If there wasn't any or nobody took the names and numbers, that's okay.
Well, it'll be in the meeting list. So let me just look here.
The chat doesn't shut when you. The chat only starts with when you log in, I discovered. Oh, I see. So I couldn't go back to see if people had put it in then.
Yeah. maybe send a note to Kelly.
Okay, which Kelly?
Kelly C. Okay. Let me see if I can get her email here.
If she's on the WeCare list for the meeting, I can get it, no problem.
Yeah, she does the WeCare list. So I know Carrie mentioned that she has an early morning opening.
Okay.
Howard, I'm just looking on, this is Ruth. I see that Marlena put in the chat that she's available at 6:15 Pacific time.
Okay.
Her number is 510-30.
I've got her number. Thanks. Okay. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then I know somebody else said they had a slot. Let me just keep looking. I don't know if they put it in the chat.
Yeah, the only other one I remember is Carrie.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep you guys. Thank you so much for your service. And
Here's Carrie. Wait, I see Carrie. It says okay. Spunky opening for 5:30 Central Time. And she said 10.
Oh, okay. That might work. Did she
text or call? Yeah, her name, it's Carrie with a K-A-R-I, and it's 320-267.
Wait, 320?
Yes, 320-267.
Uh-huh.
5159.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right, Jana.
Oh, there's one more person.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. This is just available. They're